Well, as people are getting seated, probably say that this is probably the hardest part of the presentation because I get to prepare and control what I put on the screen. I don't get to prepare and control this. So, but some really good questions here. And the other difficulty with answering questions, I think, is in a format like this, there's no chance to ask questions back and to get a sense of what lies behind the question, what the motivation is. So I'm going to admit to you right up front, I'm going to make some assumptions. And if I make the wrong assumptions, you know, I'm glad to interact afterwards or whatever if you want to continue to talk about the question. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of good questions here. This one's right in front of me. How does the church reclaim the time spent on a phone? And then it specifies for 15, for 40, at 70 years old, okay? Sounds like we've got people who like their phones. Man. I don't want to be flip at all on this. I can give you a one-word answer. Here's what I'm reading into the question. That there's an acknowledged problem of I'm on this thing too much, okay? So I'm assuming that there's an acknowledgement of a problem. I'm also assuming that this question is referring to I'm searching for I'm not using my phone like to actually talk to somebody, all right? Okay, I'm the proverbial stereotypical, right, looking at my screen. Please don't hear this harshly. Repent. Put it away. I mean, it's a really, anything that controls you, you need to cut off. I hope that's not too flip or too short. A lot of the questions use a word, how. So let me give you a couple of them. How do we listen to other wise voices around us when we know that they, even the wisest, parenthesis, even the wisest, too, have sinful hearts? Number two on this page is how should we familiarize ourselves in a wise way with the other voices for the purpose of shepherding our children and apologetic purposes? Some of you that know me better know that one of my phrases is I'm not a formula guy. Okay. To ask the question how, and my goodness, I want you to hear this the right way. Let me put it this way. When I ask the question how, me, myself, I'm struggling with something. I need to recognize it's the wrong question. I'm looking for an answer that somehow says, I can control this. I can fix this. Give me the steps. Okay? It's interesting in the, see if I get my own presentations correct here. I think it's in number three on Thursday that I'm going to be addressing this. Part of what we need to come to, okay, spoiler alert. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I think it's a really significant clarification of what it means to trust in the Lord. We're not trusting in a set of steps. We're not trusting in having some sort of correct knowledge. We're trusting a person, the living God. And so in these how questions, and I appreciate them. rather than I have to figure this out so that I can be safe, so that I can protect my kids, it's God, help. Help me. I need wisdom. So I'm trying to answer that not as a specific set of steps, but as a principle. So let me revisit, how do we listen to other wise voices around us when we know that they don't, that even the wisest too have sinful hearts? Well, the one that has all the wisdom is your Savior. And what does he say in James 1? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And it's not easy. I don't have a formula, okay? You ask, and then, let me see if I, okay, maybe I'll illustrate this. When I was first coming to seminary, many of you will know that there was a time when our daughter Mary was born. And we came, also that was the year that we were starting our little business, the food business. And we were struggling with, what do we do? How do we keep all this together? How do we keep educating our boys? How do I go to seminary? How do we care for our daughter? How do we da-da-da-da-da? And I had other brothers speaking into my life. Godly men, okay? And one person, very careful with identification here. One person said that we just needed to quit the business. I am so thankful that we didn't follow that counsel. Okay? So right now, that business, God is using it to bless and allows us to help the church. But how do you sort that out? Some people saying X, some people saying Y. Well, ultimately, you have to be going back to the Word, and you have to be evaluating what are the clear biblical principles that I cannot, must not violate. It's not like I had an option of saying, well, you know what? Forget taking care of Mary. I'm going to seminary. It wasn't an option because it was clear in the Word. And so the clear guides the less clear. And I don't know if that's helping or not. In some ways, counseling, you have to get to know the person and know what their motivations are, know all the things that are going on in their life in order to be able to give wise biblical counsel that accounts for what principles can and cannot be violated. So I don't have an easy formula answer for that. It's hard work. But hopefully, maybe some of that babbling kicked us down the road a little bit. How should we familiarize ourselves in a wise way with the other voices for the purpose of shepherding our children and apologetic purposes? Great question. And I absolutely hear the heart of it. We want to be prepared. Well, first and foremost, teach your children to hear the voice of the shepherd. Teach them to love the Word of God. Then certainly secondly, I referred to the idea of worldview. Start familiar. How does a Christian think? What are those part of my hesitation is every one of these topics is much bigger than a five-minute answer. Familiarize yourself with what a Christian worldview is. And I'm not even talking at some sort of super sophisticated level. It's just there is a God. He is knowable. He does love you. Those are certain basic Christian tenets that shape the way you think. And so then when another voice comes that would contradict that, you're able to recognize it. Maybe the, I know we don't have these anymore, but go back in the 1950s, you're at the bank, and the teller is counting the bills. They're going really, really fast, and every now and then they put one over here. They're not even looking at them. And you go, what are those? Oh, those are the counterfeits. And you look at them, and you're like, how did you know? I mean, you were counting a mile a minute. And their answer was, we studied the original so well, so much, that the fakes are obvious. So absolutely, the starting point is know your word. Know what the scripture teaches you about how to interpret life. That's your starting point. Then the fakes become obvious. It doesn't mean you don't study the fakes, but you'll never study all of them. It's impossible. Okay? I've labored under that for years. Gotta know everything. It ain't big enough. It just ain't big enough. So hopefully that handles those. What is the help or danger of limiting who we listen to? What is a healthy balance? I'm going to put that together with another question that says, Christians need to be part of the conversation so we can know how to respond. How can we listen to a broad variety of sources wisely? I hope that seems like those are tied together and you can see the connection. I have a number of things to say here. I mean, one of them I've already said. Know your Savior. The sheep will know my voice, right? We're going to get to it in other sessions, but how well do you know Christ? I don't know him well enough. But it's a fabulous question because Jesus wants us to be in the world. You know, go into the world and make disciples, right? We need to be able to engage people. We need to be able to talk to people where they're coming from. So it's not like we can go live in a safe little hole, you know, the fortress mentality. I'll go hide, right? Not interact. That's not what Christ calls us to do. We're to interact. How do we do it safely? Well, God's given you something really, really beautiful called the church. We were talking about it in our group. Being able to sit down, God's given you elders in the church. I mean, these aren't just figureheads. They're supposed to be people who are invested in your life and caring for you and shepherding you. Go to them. There's a huge word on the table here. It's called humility. I don't know everything, folks. Neither do you. So get over it and go to your brothers and sisters and ask. It's one of the ways that God answers the question, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He uses our brothers and sisters. That's Romans 15, 14. I'm confident of this, my brothers, that you're able to counsel one another, nouthetically confront, put in mind the principles that you've learned. But, okay, get your feet out of the way. I'll step on my own. Most of us are too proud to go to others to ask. I don't understand. I don't know how to put this together. We're all too afraid of, you know, feeling the fool. But it's really important that we're engaged in the conversation. And so it's not, God doesn't call us to a safe life. You know, we got to go out there and engage and struggle and recognize that his word is sufficient and his love and care for us is sufficient. I think I'm answering. I hope I'm answering. Said that the church capitulates too readily to other voices. How can we stop doing that? Let me see if I can. How can we come to grips with never being able to know everything in the information age? Okay, so I guess that's a separate question. get over it. You won't. I'll take that second one first. I mean, the whole idea of We're talking about worldviews. Rationalism is a worldview that says, starting from myself, I can draw a circle that encompasses all knowledge. I'm the reference point. Well, that's why you need to know your Christian worldview. No, you can't. Only God can do that. He's the only one who's omniscient. And so, I don't want to be flip with questions in any way, but get over it. You're not going to be able to know everything. That's why we need each other. We need I have people I go to with medical questions. I have people I go to with, I'm in the middle of a counseling case right now where I'm reaching out to people outside. Right? You have more experience with this. Help me. Right? How do we not capitulate to the other voices? I really don't want to be Sunday school-ish, but I'm going to say it anyway. Fall in love with Christ. Get to know him. He's a person. He loves you. He cares for you. Get to know him. I'll betray my
charismatic past.
There was a song that used to be sung back in the 70s, turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Okay, I know, I'm not promoting non-Psalms, okay? I'm acknowledging that there's a gem of truth there. Get to know Christ. And you're not gonna, I'm not perfect in what I'm about to say, but the older I get, the less I care about what some people think about me. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but just like, I'm comfortable enough knowing, I've studied the scripture, I've walked with the Lord long enough, okay, I got the, not proud, I don't want you to hear, I got it, but that one's in place. I don't need to worry about this pressure to believe so-and-so or to believe this person or whatever. I can just walk before the Lord. Okay. Where are we at time-wise, Davis? Where's Davis? 3 minutes. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to use my cheaters again. When we think of counsel, oh, this is the question I was talking with Rob about. Okay. Rob, help me out on this. The question has to do with when we think of counseling people, we tend to think of deficiency. And if I'm reading, Rob Moroniak, where are you at? Are you thinking deficiency negative, like it's a pejorative? Okay, I just want to try to read into it correctly. So counsel before the fall is because of a deficiency. Well, yes, they didn't know. Okay. Is the counsel, I think the question that you're asking is the, is the need for counsel being met by the covenant of works? Is that? I guess words are tricky things, and the connotations we bring to them. I mean, Adam and Eve, in one sense, were deficient, but maybe when we use that word, they were perfect. They were exactly as God designed them to be. They weren't deficient in that sense, but they still needed to be instructed. And so, if we're going to bring in the word deficiency, I guess I would say they were simply a created need. This is how God made them. I'm in relationship with these my image bearers, and I'm going to instruct them about how I want them to live. I don't know if I'm touching that one. I'm not sure I have my head around this question yet. Yes? Micah? It's not a flaw, it's just...
Thanks. Yeah, it's not a moral deficiency in the sense that they were in a place of guilt that needed corrected at that point. So the covenant of works, I don't see the exact connection. So having been created in a place with eternal need to be being filled by Christ doesn't make them in that sense morally deficient, as if there is a guilt that is connected to it that needs to be fulfilled in the covenant of works. That's, I think there's a disconnect there in the way it's being expressed.
Okay. And then in a sense, I think you've answered it.
I hope so.
Yeah, okay. Missed the last word.
Doesn't necessarily have to be negative. It could just be a lack of something, right? Lacking knowledge. And then you were talking about, earlier in the session, you were defining nouthetic counseling, the difference between nouthetic counseling and instruction.
Okay, I don't recall talking about nouthetic counseling directly. So go ahead. I'm going to get rescued. Let me pursue it with you, Rob.
The great thing about this week is that we can continue to discuss, and Martin will be here, and you guys can continue to have discussions. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.